Hey, Wonderfuls, welcome to episode 363 of the JV Club. I was so excited to have Atsuko on the podcast. I'm such a fan of hers. She's just wonderful and unique and fabulous and I'm just like very inspired by her. So I'm sure you will enjoy the episode, and I hope everyone's doing okay in this sort of strange prep. Pairing, being safe, being extra cautious. Hopefully that will lead to good things as we sort of wait for what we don't know. We're all in this together. Do you know what I mean? And I think there is something comforting about that. So yeah, I will talk to you soon, and let's all hang in there. Okay. All right, look, let's get right into it. Let's do a grocery check.
Yeah, grocery check.
Do you feel like you have extra groceries on hand right now?
No, not at all.
Not at all, me neither.
Not at all.
I feel like I have some, and this feels appropriate since you have such a now famous and wonderful set during the earthquake. I have some earthquake supplies that don't really include like just practical, what if people are just like sick with the flu stuff. It's more like, mm-hmm. You know. Do you need a radio that winds up? That like,
yeah,
like
that's yeah, not. Yeah, you have a crank radio.
I have a crank radio and uh-huh. stuff like that, but I don't have a lot of like just canned food, like just things that you would need to also stay alive.
Yeah, yeah. I don't have an earthquake kit yet, so you're way ahead. You're ahead of the times. Listen. They keep talking about the big one, or they were. Oh, so
when the big one hits,
it's good to have that.
So, when the big one hits,
how about like
no
a flare
of
gun?
MRIs is gonna. Like ooh, I don't think gun? I have a flare gun. I think I have some flares, but I don't have a flare gun.
Oh, if you have flares, then
I can't shoot the flare up into the sky to show someone that I'm the sole survivor of this wasteland.
Right, right, right. So what's a regular flare?
It's I think that's like what you could, like on the road, if you get a flat tire, you know what I mean? You can crack it open or something. And
Yeah.
God, I don't know anything about anything.
It's so funny that a regular flare is just to signify don't get near, right? Go around this thing.
And then
the flare gun is like, come to me ASAP.
Please help me, come to me. It's so true.
Yeah. You know, I have neither of those things, but you know, I learned that. Thank you for teaching me that. So like a flare is just like a firework.
I think so. I think it's a firework that's disappointing.
Yeah, like a sparkler.
You wanted something else to happen. Listen, I'm still going through some neck stuff. I'm trying to figure out how to be comfortable. This is very...
Don't get comfortable.
This is weird. This became like instant like heroin den.
You look...
I laid back
great.
And...
Right now the room is dimly lit and Janet is... Oh, well, you're like, please don't tell everyone what.
Oh, I'm very comfortable with it.
Yeah,
I've announced that I found mustard stains on my pants on the podcast. I don't hide anything.
Yeah, you're leaning back. You look comfortable. You got pillows on pillows.
I'm gonna sit this one out and just let you go.
You know the world is like everyone's scared to touch each other. You know, my grandma ordered 400 masks. She ordered
400.
I said, Grandma.
She's the one who ordered all the masks. That's ruining it for all the healthcare professionals.
That's why no one else can get them. That's
why
they're out.
She felt like 400 was the way to go. Was it just like there happened to be a carton of them that came in that amount? She was like, let's go for it.
You know, she was like, one for every day of the year plus some, you know?
Sure.
And that she rounded up to 400.
But also like, have we determined that you need to wear one a day, but like they're only good for a day and then you throw it away?
We haven't determined many things.
Grandma
likes to get ahead of things, you know, just like.
Where is she?
She's in LA. She's in Arcadia. Yeah. And, you know, it's a very like Taiwanese, Chinese populated neighborhood. And so she's seen how empty it's gotten and how the businesses are closing. Like it's not like a ghost land but it kind of looks, it's definitely less like people are not going out.
Yeah.
And so she's seeing it firsthand and then the news is just constantly talking about the virus.
Right.
So she was like, well, you know, as a woman with an Amazon account, what can I do about it? You know what I mean? And she was like,
how can I give back to my own safety?
to my own safety, of course, she gave us some. You know, she gave her granddaughter some. You know?
And is it the kind that actually filters stuff out, or is it the kind that everyone's like, oh, that's so cute. Maybe a feather won't get in your mouth.
It feels surgical because I had a hard time putting it on. I was like, let me try this fucking thing. Sorry. I was like, give me that damn thing. Okay, let me try this thing that everyone keeps talking about. And it was very difficult to put on because it's sturdy.
Yeah.
And so it's definitely strong.
Right. So I think I have those. Does it have a little filter built in? Like a little.
Ooh, no. Oh, what is this filter?
Good luck to you guys.
That sounds. What
filter? I don't know.
Filter?
It's like a little.
What
yellow,
am I missing out on?
There's like a little yellow C-3PO mouth on
so
the
you
top
can breathe?
Of the. I think that's the filter. There's like an actual sort of particulate filter. Like it's just a slightly more advanced version of one that's just a sort of a thick white mask.
That sounds okay. That sounds like it's better built and definitely a little more pricey. So she probably couldn't buy that in a bulk of 400.
The amount of 400, I doubt. Mm-hmm. I don't know how much. I think we just got them because we were painting, and that was like, oh, this is what you're supposed to get when you're painting something.
Got it. Okay.
Like if you're painting the country with a virus, that's the mask you want to wear.
Wow, that was very poetic.
Thank you.
That's very poetic.
Well, I'm lying back.
Yeah.
So that's when that's when the great artists did the most.
You're so brave for having somebody from the outside world come in to do your podcast.
That's cool. I had a live studio audience show last night on the show I'm doing, full of strangers.
Yeah.
And a crew of, 100 people. Like,
that's true.
I have been living so far outside the preparation bubble and like the realism bubble. I couldn't believe they canceled South by Southwest. Like, I was in complete shock. And everyone else was like, not at work, because they're also living in a bubble. So they are really?
Yeah.
But everyone in the rest of the world who's been keeping up with things and not living in denial was like, yeah.
They were like,
it's not that surprising. Like, XYZ led to that. And I was like, I'm not well. I don't feel great. This is crazy. I'm stunned.
I know. And I'm just thinking about all the filmmakers and the musicians.
Austin, the city of Austin.
The city of Austin.
Who makes
the staff.
Some people just make like the money they know they can survive on for the rest of the year.
Annually.
At their restaurants and their hotels and their bars and their this and their that.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
It's real. That made it feel real in a way that I was not prepared for.
Right, right, right.
You
know? Breaking down the economics of South By, I was like, oh yeah, so many people were affected. Because it is, can you imagine just being the person who's just like, God, that filmmaker, it was like their first film in. Like,
I know. But I have a friend it was like her film, and her husband, like, he was going to be gone with her for the show. And I texted him yesterday and said, how's Lynn? Like, what's happening? This
but in
is
a way,
awful.
We all got rejected from South By this year.
Ooh,
you know, so
true.
We're all on the same
How
level
unifying.
Is what I was trying to say.
I agree,
is
and
that,
I support that.
Sure, sure. You know, blood, sweat, and tears into that film you made.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say, sure, blood, sweat, and tears was supposed to play at South by Southwest.
Sure, yeah, yeah. But we did that so we can, we can avoid blood, sweat, and tears, literally, now.
Now, well, we did it so we can avoid it for 5 extra minutes. I just don't know. I don't know. I mean, we don't, your teenagerhood does not include the coronavirus. So luckily we can shift focus, but it's
a
very strange
thing. Seeing what you're doing here.
But then I went back to coronavirus anyway, because I wanted to talk about how strange everything is.
Look.
So I'm not living in, they haven't ceased production. I just don't know like how serious it will get to where people really are just sealed up in their homes for how long. I mean, no one knows.
And have we seen something like this in recent years? Maybe not like this, huh?
I don't think so. I mean, SARS, bird flu, all of that stuff was people started getting panicky.
Right.
And then it stopped before anyone changed anything. People were nervous.
Yeah.
And then it was like, oh, this is a non-issue. Like, it's just not.
Yeah.
It's just not coming.
I wonder if it's because during SARS, we weren't all on Twitter too, though.
Well, that's a good point.
You know, definitely like it helped.
Yeah, has there been a true social media? Yeah.
Yeah, the spread of information is so fast that it's just like, I don't know if like a video is completely real. You know, you have to fact check.
Oh, for sure.
There's like a video of people collapsing out of nowhere in grocery stores and stuff. And then, but then you're like, oh, wait, that was just like a sketch. You know what I mean? So you have to.
And
so,
then the reminder that the people who are trying to be less panicked about it, saying like, you know, just the regular old flu is killing thousands more of people than this thing is.
Yeah. Well, all I know is that Elon Musk tweeted that the coronavirus is dumb. So the panic is dumb. So yeah.
He's whatever. Never said anything inflammatory or wrong before either, I don't think.
he's
a non-controversial.
Well, he's, you know, whatever. He made that car that was not supposed to break or something, the window, and then did you see that?
No, but I heard about it.
Oh yeah. And then the window broke. So who knows? Yeah. You know what I mean?
Also, he's probably tweeting that from space at this point anyway. He's like tweeting in the Tesla.
Yeah, he's like he's quarantined in the most expensive like Tesla.
Yeah.
And he's fine.
Yeah.
Which is trying to tie this back into my teenage years.
Oh, please do. Someone's got to.
Well, you know, actually, when I first came here to the States, it was like 1999. So it was like Y2K panic.
Oh, sure.
And I remember thinking, God, nobody here has any chill.
Yeah.
Because I was like, why did we move here from Tokyo, where everything was relatively chill?
Right.
And like, was I a teenager? I guess I was like a preteen. 1999, that was, doing the math really quick. What year is it? 21 years ago.
Mm-hmm, okay. Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, it's not even my teenage years. We have to like fast forward for teenage years. But when I first came here, I remember it was so intense. And I was undocumented when I came here. I was undocumented till I was 17. And so, yeah, it was like, why did we move to this crazy place? And in 2001... you know, 9/11 happened.
Yeah. And so I was like, you really had
wow,
back to back.
This place. Yeah.
That is crazy.
And then we went to war.
Yeah.
With Iraq. Yay. And I was like, God, why do we leave Tokyo again? Only for me to be undocumented living in my uncle's garage.
No doubt. You know what I mean? Why did you leave Tokyo?
Because, well, there were like a lot of inner family stuff, but my grandma thought there were better opportunities here. We had an uncle who lived here in West LA, and that's why I moved to LA. But my mom's mental health issues were really bad in Japan. It was all that stuff, all that fun stuff. And then so, but my grandma didn't tell me we were moving here for good. So we did the whole, she told me we were coming here for just like a 2-month vacation.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Whoa. Okay.
Yeah. And then we overstayed our tourist visa. That's how you do it.
Yeah. And back in the good old days.
Back in the good old days, you fly in and you go, oops, I guess I live here now. Yeah. You know, if you can't do it, whatever.
Right.
The legal way, which is very difficult to do. So anyway, yeah.
So when you became documented, how did that process go? Like, how much onus do you have to take? Is there like some sort of period in which you're like repenting? you're in a quarantine of repentance?
Well, no, it just kind of, so my grandma kept applying us to the visa lottery program when we were undocumented, which is, you know, every year they draw 55,000 names out of this lottery from different countries to get their green card.
Yeah.
So I didn't know she was doing this, but my grandma's very resourceful. She always has a plan. She had a plan that we were going to come here illegally, stay illegally, and then during that time, pretend we were still living in Japan while she applied us for the visa lottery program.
Gotcha.
And then every year our names weren't drawn, and then on the seventh year, all three of our names got drawn to get the green card. So that's how you, or else like, I'm pretty lucky. Like most undocumented folks don't have like a story like this where they get to get a green card.
I love that. You know? I love that her meticulous planning still involved winning the lottery.
Of course. Like, yeah. Every grandma's like Right. Every story is like winning the lottery. That's
I've
so
got
funny.
It all figured out.
Totally. She's like, we're going to make
this,
it
this,
work.
This, and then I do scratch cards every day for X amount of time, and we are golden.
It's such
and
a
grandma. And then it worked out.
Yeah. Because if she could like just collect plastic bags or something and somehow have that be a, you know, a way you could get your green card, she would do that too. Yeah. It's such a grandma thing to be like, we're doing the lottery. Wow. Okay. Big dreamer. Okay.
But then all three got picked at the same time.
Yeah.
Which seems.
It's crazy.
They must have been in some sort of bundle together.
Maybe
they bundle the family together. Because that would be, I wouldn't put it past
the US.
It
would be crazy if only like my name got drawn or something and they both got deported.
Yeah.
That's the thing. That's how families get separated.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So. Those are my teenage years in a nutshell. Yay.
People, I don't think that the reason I ask, and I don't mean this to be like a racially ignorant statement, but it belies itself even as I say it. But we can agree that people don't necessarily usually think of like a family from Tokyo necessarily being the immigrants from, you know what I'm saying? Like there's a lot of like, well, my parents were, you know, they lived through the war in Korea and this and that, and they wanted to come to the States, or like Laos was, you know, places in
the war
disruption.
On Corona. Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
Whatever.
Exactly.
Yeah. Totally.
But
it's
like,
always
we have a fascination with Japanese culture, and I think people definitely think of Tokyo as this sort of like, you know, what very well-to-do kind of amazing city of the future in certain ways. Like there's a sort of mystique to it that is, I'm sure its own form of racism, but it's not necessarily the place anyone thinks like, oh, you would want to leave there to come here? Okay.
Yeah. Where'd you run away from?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Tokyo.
Yeah.
You know, it just sounds crazy. Yeah, totally. That was part of why I was mad at my grandma. Too was like,
you're like, we didn't have
why did we leave Tokyo Disneyland? We weren't, why did we leave Japan? Like, we were our starving country, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's not a war torn place, you know. And so, but a part of the reason we were able to get the green card is because it's a diversity lottery thing, so the less people come from your country to the States, the more chance you have. So it's like, let's try to make America more diverse is the kind of thing.
Did you hear that, Norway?
Exactly.
You got some real good chances.
Exactly. Norway would have a chance.
No one would come here.
But no one from Norway wants to come here.
Exactly.
No one from Japan usually wants to come here because they have healthcare and it's better where they are already.
Right.
Yeah.
How much culture shock was there for you?
You know, it was like... It was a lot.
And did you already speak English?
I didn't speak English.
Ooh.
So I had to learn English. I learned Mandarin too because my uncle is Taiwanese. I'm half Taiwanese and half Japanese. But when I was in Japan, I never had to, you know, speak Mandarin. It was just Japanese.
Yeah.
When I came here, because of the relatives we were staying with, they were Taiwanese. I had to learn Mandarin to speak to them. And English to speak with the rest of the world. And so, it was a lot because I also was in shock about the fact that we couldn't go back to Japan anymore.
I know.
Yeah. And so it was, and also because I came to LA, right? Like I joked that like the first language I really learned was Spanish.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, me getting to know the Latin community.
Sure.
Learning Spanish slang.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Learning American foods even at the same time I was learning like Mexican foods.
Yeah.
Both of them just blew my, just like, what is it, broke my, what is it?
I
had diarrhea for like a year.
Yeah.
Wrecked me.
Oh,
wrecked
no.
me. You know what I mean? Like coming from Japan.
Sure.
To here.
Yeah.
And suddenly like ranch dressing is introduced to my diet.
Yeah.
Like ranch dressing, chalupas, tacos, sour cream, cheese.
Right,
like,
right.
I was wrecked for like a whole year. I was just like, I don't know how people.
Yeah.
And at the same time, everyone was freaking out about Y2K.
Oh my God.
I was just like, this place is nuts. Like my stomach hurts all the time.
Oh, no.
You know what I mean? The kids at school. I can't.
How quickly were you dropped into school as well?
Yeah. So we came over a summer. It was supposed to be a summer vacation.
Right.
So they enrolled me in like summer school for 2 months.
During the supposed vacation, you were like, guess what? You're in school now.
Yeah.
Okay.
To kind of, I think it was like her plan to like assimilate me fast.
Yeah.
Like. Yeah, we're just visiting your uncle for the summer, but while you're here, might as well learn English really fast. Why? Oh, okay. I didn't even think about it. I didn't even think why, like how that would be shady at all.
Yeah. What was the school like? How old were you?
I was like 10 when I came 10. Here. Okay, I was 10. It. Yeah. And I know this isn't teenagers, but we'll get there nobody's soon.
I'll have you sign some paperwork afterwards. We're going to work this thing
we're
out.
We're doing like an adolescent. Is 10 adolescent? What is that?
I think that's still pre-adolescent.
Pre-adolescent.
But it depends. God. It's different for everyone. I mean, I don't know.
I felt 100 years old. Uh-huh. Yeah. There you go. I felt 100. Because I was being forced to like learn so many things at once so fast that I was like, by the end...
Did it feel like that time slowed down in the way that we... That when you travel somewhere, at least in my experience, like it does feel like I was gone a month. The harder it was to assimilate, which can be wonderful, but your brain is like trying to process everything. And so you end up feeling like time slows down. Yeah. Like I wonder if that, you know, because like the few months I spent in France, I think of as being this huge chunk of my life. And it was literally several months. But it was just because I was immersed and I had to speak French and, you know, everything now like that's cemented so differently. So, yeah, I wonder if there's that span was just like endless for you.
That's so true. I never thought of that. Yeah, that's probably what it is. It felt like time a little bit slowed down. So it felt like by the time I was 13, I was like, I feel 45. Uh-huh. What? There's more? You know, what? I'm getting my period. But I feel like I gave birth to, like, I've raised 40 kids.
I should be in menopause. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to take a break. I will be back after a word from our wonderful buddies at Maximum Fun.
This is your captain with an update from the flight deck. We'll be reaching Max Fun Drive on March 16th. That's right on time. As a reminder, Max Fun Drive runs for just 2 weeks, and it's the best time of year to support the podcasts you love. If you look towards the front, you'll see your favorite hosts with special bonus content and lovely thank you gifts for new and upgrading monthly members. Now, sit back, relax, and catch up on your favorite Max Fun shows now so you can listen to the new episodes releasing March 16th. And thanks again for choosing Maximum Fun.
Do you have siblings? Did they? No.
I have half siblings in Japan.
In Japan. Yeah. So it was just you, your mom, and your grandma who came.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So it was just the three of us.
And how and when, because you were undocumented, usually people are like, well, I'm not going to risk, you know, you don't going back outside of the country until XYZ.
Yeah.
Did you travel outside the United States before age of 17?
No. Or, we couldn't. Yeah. So I couldn't go back to Japan to see like my friends or my dad or family.
And when what was that conversation? Was there just like a single conversation where your grandmother or your mom said, okay, we're not going back?
Yeah, it wasn't a single conversation. It was like various conversations for 7 years. Tidbits at a time. Also, I think a bit of me was in denial and was upset that, you know, I was suddenly moving here. Because I didn't get to say goodbye to all my friends. I didn't really...
But that's like your stuff. And, yeah, I mean, my all those stuff. Things, like when you're a kid, those...
I would have loved to have like a bigger goodbye if I knew I wasn't going back.
Yeah.
Or that I was not going to be able to go back. So it was this thing where I would ask about visiting my dad, but then grandma would be like, well, we can't go there if we want to come back here.
Right.
And I'm like, well, why do we want to come back here?
I was going to say, was there a point at which that made sense to you in a personal way where you were like, I do want to be here. I don't want to go back.
Yeah, it took a while, though. It was this weird thing where I almost had to like, Stockholm syndrome it, you know?
Yeah,
where I was like,
absolutely.
Well, I kind of like at one point, maybe in high school, it wasn't until after high school, but even during high school, I was trying to be like, look around me and be like, okay, well, I have friends here.
Right.
You know, and I've done many years here. English is kind of my predominant language now. You know, I'm a cheerleader now.
You were?
I was a cheerleader at Venice High School.
Okay.
Varsity.
What was the diversity like at your high school? It was just a big public school in Venice?
Public school in Venice, mostly Latin. The community was Latin.
Hence what you were saying. That makes sense.
So the cheerleaders were all Latinas. They were like my first like true friends. Yeah, at that time, I think I was like, oh, I have a purpose. I have a cheer squad. You know what I mean? Like, I have... We had to do fundraisers, you know, to buy our uniforms and things like that. We had practices. I started choreographing some of the dances. I started having kind of a purpose, and I think that's when I was like, yeah, like, I this is my home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What attracted you to... Which came first? Was it like, were your friendships blossoming with these Latina women and the young girls when they were like, you should join the cheer squad? Or was it like, I'm interested in cheering and thus these girls became my friends or some combination thereof?
I think, I actually like gymnastics and dancing came first in my life. My grandma always like tried to, I don't know, I think it was just to like keep my head out of things or keep my mind out of thinking too dark or something.
Uh-huh.
She signed me up for gymnastics and stuff. So I was always busy with gymnastics or dance classes. And so naturally in high school when, and I had a hard time making friends. So it's not like the Latinas from elementary school, middle school, like bled over to high school. Mm-hmm. These were new batches of friends every time.
Yeah.
I just couldn't figure out. And I was embarrassed of my status and like inviting people over to the garage. I was living in a garage with my mom and grandma. Hmm. So it's not like I could have friends over. I could, but it was like, sorry, my mom's right here while we play. She has nowhere else to go. You know what I mean? Like, I would do homework like literally next to the dishes, you know, because everything, it's a cramped space. And so, friendships were really hard. And so in high school, it was like, I was like, what are my interests? I'm going to do cheerleading. I'm going to try it. Whatever. I don't know. Mm-hmm. It's the perfect combination of gymnastics, dancing. And I always liked performing, being in front of people. And so, so the group of Latinas, you know, the girls that befriended me, it was like, it wasn't a new world. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, I already knew Spanish slang. I already knew the community, like, because I grew up in LA by that time.
Right.
Yeah. yeah.
What kind of...
Am I doing this podcast right?
No, not at all. I haven't started recording. I will let you know.
Oh, good.
There's going to be a point at which I start to feel like
realize that
and we're not there yet.
Started hitting.
But, you know, it took you 7 years to get documented. You know what I mean? We could be here a while.
Oh yeah, I'm kind of like a late bloomer.
Punch yourself in face.
No, I'm a late bloomer. Yeah, when you decide we're hitting JV.
Yeah.
JV
when
club
we've gotten
points.
Into the right territory, mm-hmm. I will definitely start recording. But for now, I'm just really enjoying our chat.
Yeah, no, totally. I'm chatting too, yeah.
What about dating? Did that come into play?
Yeah, I didn't start dating till high school for sure.
Yeah.
When I started having a purpose. Uh-huh. And I was like, okay, now I'm worth it.
Right.
Because what's self-worth? No one's going to teach you that until you start feeling.
Ain't that the truth? Yeah.
Right? It's not your parents are going to be like, okay, today you are a woman. I guess some people do that with like the quinceañeras and the bar mitzvahs and stuff.
Right.
Like, today
that's true.
You are...
That rite of passage kind of stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
But without that, who are you?
Yeah.
I didn't have that, you know, because neither of those were my culture.
Yeah.
So I didn't have at 13 or 15.
Did you, do you feel like you had a sense of humor about all the ways in which you were sort of different and kind of having to, you know, assimilate and having to, you know, like you said, doing your homework next to the dishes and going like, yeah, I live in a garage. Did you have a sense of humor about that as a teenager? Obviously, you became a comic. Or were you so in it that it was like, this is not funny?
Yeah. No, I did not find it funny at all at the time. Yeah. But now it's like, now.
Not to say that it is inherently funny, but just in terms of defense mechanisms, right? Or coping mechanisms.
Totally.
Like, you know, we just sort of deal with things in different ways at different points in our lives. So I wasn't sure if it was like, and then you became the class clown in addition to being a cheerleader or, you know.
Totally. The class clown, I wasn't quite there yet. Uh-huh. I was still like experiencing. It wasn't until like right after high school, like at 18, 19, that I was able to start, you know, like laughing about things and trying like and finding the funnies and things and truly find like enjoying it. I think that really saved me, or else in the past, like my coping mechanisms were really unhealthy. Like
yeah.
I got an, you know, eating disorder, you know, the all the stuff that yeah. you do to cope.
The checklist.
Checklist.
That was your quinceañera.
Yes.
Was the eating disorder.
7th through 10th grade, it was eating disorder.
Was it really? Was mm-hmm. it? What form?
I started with anorexia and then bulimia. I hate saying it like that because it just sounds like a list.
It sounds like
you know, the typical,
fads.
You start yeah. with the fad.
Well, no, but I mean, I think there's reasons that those, not to say that those things happen in those patterns necessarily all the time, but there are reasons, and there's yeah. something, I always say there's something comforting to me about the fact that things tend to happen similarly for people, because it
right.
shows that you're not like so peculiarly broken that.
Totally.
You know,
God, I know. And only if like the internet was around enough, like if Twitter was around and I was good at it back then, I think it would have helped to see more stories.
Right.
Because, yeah, there was like live journal and stuff, but like I wasn't going around on other people's live journals. I didn't know how to click around enough to. I just didn't know how to use the internet as well.
Yeah.
You know? And so it did feel very like it was just me.
What,
you know,
if you don't mind digging into that a little bit deeper, when you were experiencing it, do you remember where you started to develop this idea of needing to not eat? Which
oh,
I say,
yeah.
since
yeah.
it isn't necessarily that thin becomes like, that's, I
right.
think that's a misunderstanding of, you know,
totally.
People are like, oh, you just see models in fashion magazines and go, I need to be thin like that. And I think with my experience with my mm-hmm. own eating stuff and, mm-hmm. and, close family members who have experienced stuff like that, like it's so much. It's so
yeah.
much more complex and often not about wanting to be skinny. I mean, like
to
really, there's
like,
just a sense of
control. Right.
It's about, you know, control and things like that and punishing yourself and
yeah.
stuff like that. It can be so much more than, you know,
right.
just
and
the sort of surface appearance thing. Yeah.
Right. Totally. Yeah, I think, well, because I was in like gymnastics and dance and stuff right earlier on and, yeah, I was doing it a lot in elementary school because in elementary school, you just have a little more time. You know, like homework and stuff isn't
right.
as hard.
And is this still in Japan or everything started here?
Everything started
yeah.
here. Everything
thanks, America.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks, y'all. No, it was, yeah. And then once the school load got heavier,
mm-hmm.
so like middle school, you know, and then there was also like having to like your body's developing too,
but also yours, and then you're adjusting to the nutrition, like the difference in the food itself.
That's very true. But by then it had been a couple of years.
Yeah.
By then it had been, yeah. At first it was like I wasn't trying to shit my brains out on purpose. You know what I mean?
And then as you get older, there's the wonderful moment in your brain where you're like, I used to shit a lot. What was my secret? How did
totally.
I manage that?
Oh my God, you're not supposed to, you don't have to drink ranch.
Yeah, exactly.
I was eating like hot Cheetos for the first time and stuff. That was crazy.
Oh yeah.
And I had friends at school who were like, oh yeah, so... with Cheez-Its, you can put hot sauce on it and just eat it. So they would pour it into my bag of Cheez-Its. That was crazy. That was going from like relatively like not bland, but relatively like not seasoned and
right.
spiced food in Japan.
Yeah.
You know, if you think about it, we don't.
Oh, sure.
And there's no dairy really in Japanese food too. So going from that to like hot Cheetos and Cheez-Its with hot sauce on it.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's because I grew up going to a school like in the barrio of Tucson, and
uh-huh.
the majority of the kids in the school
yeah.
were Latinx,
mm-hmm.
And so all of the candy that I ate at school
yeah.
was
yeah.
Mexican.
Yeah.
So I definitely grew up with like the saltiest,
mm-hmm.
most spicy stuff ever. Like that, when I look back on eating saladitos in a half of a lemon, where you have that, the dried prune that's covered in like sugar, salt, and chili powder.
Yeah.
And then I would just eat the whole rest of the lemon. Just like, here we go. Like, that's so, that's an extreme snack.
It is an extreme thing. Yeah, to put in a small bottle.
Yeah, and tamarindo, like the little gooey paste that has like tons of chili pepper in it.
Yeah.
So that was very normal for me. But now looking back, I'm like, that's great. Like for a kid who, if you just suddenly dive into that and your system is not metabolized to that, I can't imagine the havoc it would wreak. Like if I tried to eat that stuff now, watch. Watch out, everybody.
No, totally. And I'd be like, okay, so, all right, that hurt me. What's American food about? Yeah. That hurt me too. You know what I mean? Yes. It was just crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But and, so the the dance and the gymnastic stuff, that can tend to be more towards body image and kind of like setting goals and discipline and stuff like that too, eh?
Totally. So I liked that. It made me feel good. But like in middle school, I couldn't do gymnastics as much anymore. Because just like the workload got more and the math problems got harder or whatever, you know, at the same time, I like was wanting to fit in more because I was seeing that people were starting to get boyfriends and girlfriends and I still couldn't figure out friendships that well. So I think I just wasn't able to like, quote unquote, work out more. I couldn't do the dance classes or the gymnastics classes as much. And then I remember I started getting kind of really into health stuff. I started working out to Denise Austin every morning.
Mm-hmm. I don't know who that is, but...
Denise Austin is like a fitness guru. She was always on like 7 a.m. to 8 a.m. on the Lifetime channel.
Amazing.
And I had to be at school by 8 in the morning, but I would work out till 7:30 in the morning and just rush to school. But I needed to work out to her because I was like, I'm not able to do dance and gymnastics anymore. I have to get this workout in.
Yes.
Or I would work out to these Jane Fonda VHS videos that I found that my aunt had.
Yeah.
And I would do it in the garage.
You found it like it was someone's Playboys underneath a bed.
Yeah, totally. I was like, I found this
weird contraband.
Who's this smiling lady? She's so uplifting. Yeah. So it was just, I would do that after school and it would make me feel good.
Mm.
I was like, well, if I'm not doing my gymnastics and dancing, but I wasn't able to, because it was like on my own terms, I was like probably overdoing it.
Right.
You know, so I was like, because I don't know how Jane Fonda did it, but this VHS was like, it was like 3 hours worth of workout.
Yeah.
So I would keep pushing myself to see how long I could do it for. And then in the morning, still doing that Denise Austin thing. And then, you know, there was talk of like nutrition in some of these videos. Right. So, you know, not knowing that they're talking about like an adult's body.
Right.
And so... But I was like in the seventh grade, so I was like, okay, so what's this nutrition thing? Okay, so like 2,000 calories per day per person. If you want to lose weight, like 1,400 calories a day.
Right.
So I started like measuring. I started like learning more about nutrition, and then I think I got really into it. And then it pushed and pushed and pushed to where it was like, what if I do like 10 calories a day?
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I totally get it.
Yeah. And it definitely wasn't like seeing models on the runway.
Right.
Yeah.
And then what was the shift from anorexia to bulimia? Was it like, I can't not eat anymore?
Yeah. I was like hungry.
But I'll do it and then I'll feel terrible. And then I'll sort of make sure I correct just a series of like, I'm doing this, but I can correct it. I can course correct after every time I eat something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it totally was that. It was, but it was really hard to correct. So it was all guilt.
Right.
Like during bulimia, it was all guilt.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it was like, well, I'm not throwing up as much as I want to.
Yeah.
As like for the amount that I purposely ate. Ugh. So it was like a lot of binging.
Oh, it breaks my heart. No, I mean, it just.
Yeah.
I just, you know, especially like because my issues came a little later, and I think it was for me attached to sort of mental health and like.
How much am I allowed to ask about that?
Oh, you know what? I don't even know if I've ever really talked about it.
Okay.
I had a period so brief of like, I like to say flirting with bulimia. I wanted to make myself throw up.
Yeah.
But I was really bad at it.
Oh,
and
sure.
So I was like literally physically forced to not do it because I just couldn't do it.
Okay.
I couldn't figure it out. I mean, I barfed a few times, but like I scraped the back of my throat with my fingernail, but you know what I mean? Like I was like a bumbling want to be bulimic.
You know,
and I mean, that sounds like I joke about it, but when I think about young women and I think about, you know, like one of my dearest, dearest friends who, you know, who sat down and told me senior year of high school that she had been struggling with bulimia for, you know, 2 years. Mm-hmm. Even then, my feeling of protectiveness towards her, even though we were the same age, was so fierce that I was just shattered and I was angry, not at her.
But
also, who was I angry at? Do you know what I mean? Right. Like, and I think that happens to young women a lot. Like, you don't know why you're so angry,
right?
You don't know who to point that towards, and sometimes you end up pointing it inside because you don't know where else to put it. And I think, and but I just remember feeling like so angry, but I didn't know what to do. You know, and I just felt like I failed her. I felt like I had failed her as a friend. Like, how could I have not, you know, all of those experiences that we have when people near, if we are not the person that someone that we care about reveals those things, you know, and it's not helpful to be like, oh, now I'm going to make this about me and how I failed you. It's like, no, you, I need to be there for you. This is about me being present for you.
Yeah, it's very difficult.
But it just makes, it's like, oh, I just want to. Yeah. I want to take those little girls and, you know, just say, God, what can I, how can I take, I want to just, you want to pull it off of them. It's very American to just be like, I don't want you to have to process what you're going through. I just want to take it away.
No, I mean,
but I do want to, I want to take it away.
No, totally. It's so hard to be able to help too, though.
Yeah.
I just think about the people that were like around me during that time, especially my grandma. It was really hard on my grandma because it was such a new concept to her too. She's two generations older than me, and so her even have, and her, like, she's also in culture shock of this culture, at the same time she's trying to figure out, like, God, you know, because any advice she would give me from her teenage years were from like the 60s. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so she's
just like, I, you know, when I was 14, what did I do? You know what I mean? And it's just like, God,
it's,
this is not working,
apply.
Grandma.
It's just not gonna apply.
Yeah, it's just like, okay, so you're on the internet chatting with boys. She's like, okay, well, what? She's like, well, I married the first man that talked to me. Your grandpa, your grand, you know what I mean? Your grandpa was a very sweet, and I married, you know, she's like, yeah, I married, you know, we played ping pong and he beat me and I said, you're the guy. I said, okay, grandma, what do? I have bulimia. She's like, I don't know. You eat and then you throw it. See, she's like, well, back in my day.
Oh my God, please. I mean, and also, like,
she's really honestly
people were anorexic and bulimic back then, but you did not know about it unless you were it. Or you were the doctor that eventually hospitalized the person.
And also being able to figure out what's going on. Figure like the words for it.
Oh, yeah.
Defining it.
Yeah.
And that it's like, it's, you know, it's not just a special case. Many people go through it.
Right.
But also, so it's very difficult. My grandma was just like trying so hard to
figure
it out.
If my mom knew, I guarantee you she would have been like, well, you need to eat everything on your plate because I grew up in the Depression. You know what I mean? Like my or my grandmother definitely.
Totally,
like, I grew up
I know.
In the Depression. The idea that you would eat and then just waste it by coughing it back. I'm like, wait, we're not having the same cup. Like that's we're speaking different languages right now. You can't apply those values.
And I will tell you, my grandma did not do that to me. You know, she knew it was
a different
thing,
understand,
but she was so confused.
Yeah.
She was just like, okay. She, you know, she was, and then, yeah, it was because I was doing it to myself. I was, you know, it's very, very dark.
This is, I'm going to stay dark here for a second. Because I realize I've never had a guest that I would be able to ask this of. Mm-hmm. So you get to be the one. And
and
I might start recording.
Have I told you that
I might start recording.
Have I told you that I'm a comedian?
Speaking of,
oh no.
I think of you as an artist.
Ooh, okay. Yeah, no, it's undocumented garage bulimia. Let's get back to that.
Well, here's what I was going to ask, and this has nothing to do with any of that. What I wanted to ask was, your grandmother wanted to be here, but one assumes your grandmother also lived through World War II.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm very interested in, like, just anecdotally, how, like, because we, I think, in a generation that had long, quote unquote, long since passed, obviously it was like yesterday in the blink of an eye of history.
Right.
But the idea of, you know, wanting to go to a country that you know, at some point in your lifetime had annihilated populations of people in your country. Like, I understand that there, that's the, I'm not saying like, and then Japan hated America forever after that. Like, not at all. And there were, I'm sure, and I know that there was like culturally, there were people who sort of immediately re-embraced the you know, the Americans or never had an issue with, I don't know, but like, I guess that's, you know what I'm asking is just sort of what was her relationship like with the sort of idea of America that it led to her also being like, we had to get over there.
I know.
And again, many years had passed, but.
Totally.
Did she ever talk about that?
Yeah. Well, so she is a kind of even more complex space where she, so my grandmother is Taiwanese, which means she was in Taiwan, which was occupied by Japan.
Okay.
During World War
II. Okay. I wasn't sure where the Taiwanese came from. And I think I misunderstood and thought that Japanese was your grandmother.
No, because I am half Japanese and I don't think I said exactly what my grandma was, but which means, so Taiwan, just kind of like its own little peaceful place, was occupied by Japan. Because of that, they were seen as Japanese. So during World War II, when they would get bombed and stuff by Americans, it was only because the Japanese took over. They're like, we don't want any of this. And so they're getting, they got attacked twice, right? So they got attacked twice. And so suddenly they were like having to learn Japanese in schools because we were territory of Japan now.
Right.
You're seen as Japanese. Oh, yeah, by the way, that means America is now your enemy, too. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so they're just, so my grandma was always in this in-between space. She was a kid, but, you know, she had to go through that. But it was this weird thing. I don't know if it's the Taiwanese people. I think it's the Taiwanese people. They've been occupied so many times by different people that I think they were kind of like, they've never, even the people, even when I go back now, you know, when grandparents talk about it, they're just like, we liked learning the Japanese culture and we liked the food and we liked the people, you know, and people were doing what they needed to. So, you know, it was a hard time. But yeah, so my grandma was never like, was never, came from like a hateful place about it. It was more like survival in the now. How do we stay alive during this time where the world went crazy? And and so with America, you know, my uncle, her son, when he came here, that's when he was like reporting back, like got a, you know, got a degree in computer stuff, opening up my own computer place.
Sure.
So it was like updates like that coming in.
Sounds very promising.
And she was like, and he, you know, got married, got a wife. She's, you know, she works in jewelry, you know, and we have a home in West LA. This is what it looks like.
Yeah.
I think the updates, that's when my grandma was like, we should go live with them. Yeah, they have a garage.
Yeah.
In Japan, you don't have garages.
Right.
We're all built on top of each other.
Right.
And it's a garage is a very like, oh, you get a garage, you get a fence.
Right.
It's a very American, you know.
Oh, very American.
You get a dog. You have to get a dog. They had two dogs. We were like, oh, that's a big house.
Yeah.
You got two dogs?
Yeah.
It's like going to New York. You ever see dogs being walked? You're like, where
do you live?
How do you have a dog? How do you that is a German Shepherd.
Yeah.
You know, because most places in like the East Coast or like New York, it's just like, you know, you live in a closet.
Yeah. Totally.
For $4,000 a month.
I always think that when I see people walking big, I'm like, I don't know how, what your life is like, but I'm making assumptions just based on that dog.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like in Tokyo, no one has a dog bigger than a Chihuahua.
Right.
Because there's no space. Yeah. We're all like, it's a tiny little place, tiny little country with tiny little people living on top of each other.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, we were like, they have two dogs. They're living the American dream. That's kind of what I got from grandma with like her views of America and why she thought this was going to be the place.
Mm-hmm.
Two dogs. One beagle, one cocker spaniel. Adorable. Yeah, we just kept getting pictures of these dogs.
I mean, in fairness, they're like mid-sized dogs, but whatever.
They're mid-sized. Yeah, yeah. If there were, what's like a big, big dog? Like a Beethoven?
Like a giant Great Dane, like Marmaduke?
Yes. What's the Beethoven dog? A St. Bernard.
St. Bernard.
They're so cool.
Have I ever seen, I think I've seen one St. Bernard in real life.
Yeah, me too.
I don't run into that very often.
And you know what? Didn't look comfortable.
No.
Like
Agreed.
He was outside, but he looked tired and hot.
Yeah.
and like, God, this isn't my world.
Yeah.
I don't know if they were bred that way, but they just look really big.
Aren't the St. Bernards like the ones that would carry the...
Yeah, like, to like rescue people yeah. or something in the water. But the one I saw looked really tired.
Yeah.
Like really, really tired, because it was just like, I'm not supposed to be in hot sun
yeah.
LA.
Yeah.
You know?
I
it's
do
It's
kind of
like when I see huskies.
I know. I have a husky.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
I love huskies.
Well, they have to all... I mean, there's so many here.
I didn't
here.
Meet your husky.
Yeah. You can meet my...
I love dogs.
You can meet both my dogs. They're just like in the
Are they
back
both huskies?
The no, the other one is a mutt. Just a true
oh my
tried
God,
and true
a
mutt.
Husky and a mutt.
Yeah.
Does the husky lead?
It's a great question.
I just picture the husky leading.
She definitely, it's a weird relationship because she is a fairly passive husky, and she was the second dog. She's like now the A, the alpha, and only in the sense that he's a puppy, uh-huh. and she was
oh,
here
got it.
When he came.
Right, right,
but
right.
She moved in at like 3 or 4 years old, no one knows, with my dog who had been was 10 and who had been
oh,
here forever.
Wow.
And uh-huh. so she wanted to be the alpha, but she couldn't be because she like didn't know, she wanted
the
to.
The language?
She didn't know the language. She didn't know the culture. She wanted
She's
to,
like, what
she
I
was
do.
Trying to anticipate getting out in front of whatever my dog Scott was going to do.
Yeah, yeah.
And she didn't know what
but
it was.
She was
so
like,
she,
right.
he would get up and she would get up really fast and be like, where are we going? I'm going to be there first. And she had no idea. And he
oh.
was totally ambivalent.
Dang.
So he would like go towards the water and she'd be like, uh-huh. Yeah, I also want water. And like, it was a very funny relationship.
Wow.
And now she loves this puppy so much. He's one now, but she loves him so much mm-hmm. that she just lets him get away with murder. Like she's like, I feel she taught him how to be a dog. Mm-hmm. And now she's like the lax mom.
Wow.
Who's like,
yes,
you can climb all over me and chew my ears.
Oh my God.
I love it.
That's amazing.
It's really, it's been a very fun dynamic to watch over the last year.
That's the dream.
Yeah. I'm living the American dream and I have a garage.
Amazing. Yeah, I know. And you're like on a hill, you're like away from civilization enough where you're safe from
But all
diseases.
I do is touch my face. Have you noticed how many times I've touched my face? Specifically my mouth. I'm a mouth toucher. Why do I need to check in with my mouth so often?
If
my fingers don't need that.
I was gonna say, if I look off to you at all, like, you know, I know it's, you know, it's because I'm trying to not touch my face too, and it's detrimental that it's in the back of your head that you can't touch your face, because it'll affect the way you talk, it'll
right.
affect the way you act.
Yeah,
this isn't me.
Yeah.
Oh, if you could see me when I'm normal, you know, it's me.
You just, have your fingers in your mouth.
Yeah,
you can barely understand what I'm saying.
Just
I've
moving
got
my eye. I'm just. Yeah.
Touching your eyes.
Touching my eyes.
Yeah, caressing them, sure.
I don't understand. Yeah, I don't know. Look, we can't live without touching our face.
I know. Ugh. I'm going to start. You know what? The mask thing, I'm going to forego the mask thing, but I will just wear latex gloves everywhere all
yeah,
the time.
Yeah, that's
And I'll
probably...
just continuously throw them away. I'll be going through thousands of latex gloves a week.
Are you
going
to order 400?
I mean, I'm going to have to exceed 400. I see that already.
Yeah.
It will be like, oh, I
yeah.
walked outside and checked my mail. Throw those gloves away.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Put okay. on the fresh set.
Yeah.
I went to the grocery store. Those have got to be
thrown away. I
want to
see you using like 12 a
okay.
day.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
I feel like I couldn't meet that goal.
Yeah. I'm going to tell grandma. I'm going to get grandma on the same plan.
Yeah. Ask where grandma is.
You know,
ask,
she'll
say,
be
when
on because she's
gloves arriving?
A one mask a day anyway. Grandma, where do you think you get off throwing that much material away every day? Just whatever it's made out of, paper,
yeah,
plastic.
I know.
Don't do that. She, honestly, she's not wearing the masks for people who might be concerned about how wasteful she's being. She's not wearing a mask because she's scared that people will beat her up. Actually, she said that.
Oh,
she
no.
said,
like, they'll come and beat me up and take my masks?
They think that I'm sick with it.
Oh,
and
I know.
Yeah. So
that's the issue, is the who's the one wearing the mask? Is it the person who doesn't want to get other people sick, or
exactly.
is the person who doesn't want to get sick?
So she hasn't even been using these. So there's just 400 sitting in her goddamn house. It's hard to live as human beings. It's so hard.
She's going to be bartering with those in no time. I'll tell you what.
Yeah, yeah.
I ran out of canned beans. I desperately need.
Don't be mad if she comes to you and she's like, Janet, 4 gloves for it.
Yeah.
Just give me that latex glove.
I'm ready. I'm ready for it.
Give
it's
going
to be
few.
All I have to offer.
Yeah.
Oh, it's time for a quick break. I will be back after a word from our friends at Maximum Fun.
If you're looking for a new comedy podcast, why not try the Beef and Dairy Network? It won Best Comedy at the British Podcast Awards in 2017 and 2018. Also, ILO.
There were no horses in this country until the mid to late 60s.
Specialist bovine arse vet.
Both of his eyes are squid's eyes.
Yogurt buffet.
She was married to a bacon farmer who saved her life.
Farm-raised snow leopard.
True. Download it today. That's the Beef and Dairy Network podcast from MaximumFun.org. Also, maybe start at episode 1 or, weirdly, episode 36, which for some reason requires no knowledge of the rest of the show.
Okay, so here's what I want to do. I've taken up so much of your time talking about non-teenage years that I'm going to use this MASH game. Now, I don't know if you have any sense
at
all.
I have played it before.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
I'm going to use that as like a sort of remaining window in to some of your likes and dislikes when you were younger or any time from like teen up till now. It can all apply.
Yeah.
But let's say three things that brought you comfort that continue to bring you comfort that are sort of like a cultural something that have an attachment to a cultural. It could be that it's a Japanese thing that you could sort of consume that would make you feel better about being here. Or it could be like, you know, ranch dressing made me feel like garbage, but like somehow it made me feel better. Like, so three things that you would like to have that, that represent kind of like the consumption of something that, or it could be a movie that make you feel better.
Yeah. From like when I was younger. Yeah. Actually, ranch dressing is something that I'm now obsessed with. Yeah.
Great.
Need it.
Two more.
Oh my God. <That's>, two ranches.
I gotta get three.
Oh, a ranch isn't enough.
It's
okay.
Like Noah's Ark plus one.
No, for sure. For sure. There's like a song. I mean, honestly, Wannabe by Spice Girls. Is that something I can bring?
Absolutely.
It's a song.
100%.
It's not a
That's exactly what
tangible
I had
in thing. Who? Okay. And God, I'm so American now. These are very, I mean, they're British, but. This is, I don't know. This is boring. I shouldn't, I don't know. Chopsticks?
Yeah.
Okay.
Why is that boring?
I don't know, because it's like, no, duh. Maybe not.
It's your mash game.
We'll go with it.
You're not doing this to satisfy someone else's criteria.
You're right. Am I the most stressed person playing mash? Am I the most stressed guest you've ever had playing
not
mash?
Not so far.
Okay.
We've had some people who've really gotten in their heads, and I understand because I would too. Okay. Next category. By the way, I've moved on to using now that I have a pen in my hand. Now I'm touching my pen.
That's
to my
okay.
Mouth
That's
constantly.
Your pen. That's your pen.
But I found it on the ground.
Oh, good. Yeah. Even better.
Yeah. In a kitchen, in a restaurant.
Yeah.
Okay. Next to a cockroach. Okay. Anyway. So next category, let's do three movies or TV shows that you wish that you could just go into and like live and be with those characters.
Oh, yeah.
Whenever you wanted.
Oh, yeah. Brady Bunch, because I'm a masochist.
Great.
And Full House. I guess I've always wanted a big family. Full House.
Great.
You got that big house and a dog. Like a movie. Ooh. and Parasite. Because I'm a psychopath. Wow. Yeah. So these, that says a lot. That says a lot. These are three families I think people would never want to be a part of. But whatever.
I'm 100% on board.
There I am, yeah.
Parasite, I think, was fascinating, too, because it had that sort of New York townhouse feeling where you're like, where is there room for that yard in the middle of this urban environment? That's extraordinary.
That's true, yeah.
It was like a magic...
Yeah.
It was like a magical house.
Yeah, I wonder which house... I don't know which family I would be a part of.
Yeah.
That's for another time.
We'll go find out whether you even get Parasite.
That's true.
Three foods that we are creating this alternate reality for you where all foods are the same. There's no like, this is bad for you. This makes you shit. Everything is great and you can have whatever you want at the snap of your fingers. Three things that you would love to have in perpetuity.
Yeah. But bolognese.
Mm-hmm. Just the sauce, not the pasta.
Oh, bolognese spaghetti. Is that the full dish name? Is that the full dish name?
Maybe.
You know how it's like fettuccine alfredo?
Yeah.
I think you say the noodle first, right? Spaghetti, so spaghetti bolognese.
Right. Spaghetti bolognese. Got it.
Still learning things. I really love a, you know, chipotle bowl.
Great.
Yeah. And also just love like a, you know, bunch of sushi. Yeah.
Bunch of sushi. Great.
Yeah.
Okay. Next category. Three people. They could be characters from a book, cartoons, or just from any time. Living or dead, that you would want to have a romantic escapade with in this alternate universe.
Romantic. Oh, Captain Li Shang from Mulan.
Right.
I've had, anyway, we don't have to talk about that. Yeah, Captain Li Shang, for sure. Who else? Oh, God. I think his name was Dimitri from Anastasia. Mm-hmm. It was her love interest.
God, have I seen Anastasia? I'm afraid I may have not.
Check it out. You know, the Russians are in the ether.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. And it's like a cool animated movie about the princess, you know, the lost princess.
I got to get into it.
From Russia. What else? Who else? A romantic escapade. This is me being basic, but maybe not. Elsa from Frozen.
Great.
Like, what's she hiding?
I'm going to get to the bottom of that.
It's so mysterious.
Wonderful. Okay, let's do three skills that you would love to wake up with tomorrow and just have sort of suddenly you're an expert.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Starting a fire with two wood things, mm-hmm, two pieces of wood. Knowing what plants I can eat.
Oh, yes. I like this. Is all in hardcore survivor mode.
Totally. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I need to know that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Fixing a sink.
So specific.
Yeah, it's very, yeah. I went to a dark place. I
not
just remember
plumbing, just fixing what, like,
yeah.
The toilet's broken. You're out of luck.
I think I know
good
how to fix
to
a toilet.
Okay, all right.
Or maybe I don't.
Yeah.
I would just use a plunger. So anyway,
yeah, okay.
I said sink. I'm going with it. Yeah. All right.
Great.
Okay, cool.
I appreciate you embracing that.
Cool.
Three.
Oh, there's more. I forget. You know, I haven't
there's
played
three
MASH
more
in a long
categories.
Time. Okay.
I
got it.
That's where I'm going.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Just so you know where we're headed. Final
okay.
three categories.
Okay.
Three places in the world, whether you've been there or not, that you would like to have kind of a getaway.
Oh, okay, getaway. In the conditions
like
that we're living in right now, with the conditions that we
in
know
a perfect
of.
World.
Yeah, because I was going to say, you know, I'm down with Sherman Oaks and Glendale and Van Nuys. But
let's also assume you can teleport. So it's like this distance to Australia is the same
right.
as the distance to Sherman Oaks.
Right. Right. Oh, that's great. Yeah. Three places. Yeah. I want to go to, I've never actually been to, you know, most of Europe. So maybe like, I don't know, France.
Done.
I want to go to South Africa.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I'd like to go to South Africa as well.
And I want to go to Argentina too.
Another place on my list. I remember, I can't, there was definitely, I think it was Argentina that there was a full solar eclipse last year. And the only reason I know that is because I saw my first and only total solar eclipse, mm-hmm, when it was across the United States. I was in Montana.
Yeah.
Wyoming. Nope.
Yeah.
Wyoming. At the time, I remember, like, as soon as it had sort of restored to, like, most, like, the sun was fully out.
Yeah.
I was like, so high from the experience of it, yeah, that I was like, when's the next one? Wherever it is in the world, I'll be there. Which
amazing.
I did not do. I did not go to
because
it.
Because then it was in Argentina.
Well, but it was, but that would have been great. But it was like, it's a hard high to hold on to. And then, mm-hmm, life comes back in. And
yeah,
then,
and you're like, oh, I don't have time to be there.
Somehow
on
it like
July
came and went.
13th. Yeah.
But I regret that. So that's what I was thinking about with Argentina.
Oh,
was like,
wow.
Oh, I still I still want to go because it was. I was going to scratch off two things because I've always wanted to go there.
Go and see. Yeah.
Three. You know what? I'm going to take the solar eclipse and run with it. Three natural occurrences or places that you would love to see.
Three natural occurrences. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I guess I've never seen a solar eclipse.
We're going to put that on the list. I mean, I'm really proselytizing that, but it's an extraordinary experience.
Yeah. What is that? That aurora thing?
Oh, aurora borealis. Yeah, I've never seen them either.
I want to see that.
Okay.
And then I want to see that, you know, when it's like daylight all day.
Mm-hmm.
What is that? Like in Iceland and stuff?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's just the 24-hour, the sun never goes down.
Yeah. Wait, what is that? The sun something. They call it something really cool.
I'm just going to say sun time.
Sun all day.
Sun all day.
I think it's sun all day.
And then last category is three real people from real life, whether they are living or dead, that you would love to have as sort of like a mentor, just kind of a, like, what do I do?
Oh, yeah.
That they would always be happy to hear from you and give you good advice and make you laugh.
Oh, yeah. Good advice and make me. This woman named Yuri.
Okay.
Kochiyama. You can just, I guess, Yuri K.
I'm challenging myself and trying to, and spelling Kochiyama as though I know how to spell Kochiyama.
Yeah, no problem. I mean, actually, it's pretty like,
K-O-C-H-I-Y-A-M-A?
Yeah, you nailed it. She was actually the person that caught Malcolm X when he got shot.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
okay.
And they were sort of, you know, they were more acquaintances, but she really like pulled a lot from Malcolm X's teachings and did the same for the Asian American community.
I'm ashamed to say that I don't know that I've heard of Yuri until this very moment.
You know, when it's her birthday, sometimes Google does the thing where it's her. Yeah. So you might see her on the Google.
I'll be checking
the animated version of her
every day looking for Yuri for the next 364 days.
I kind of want to chat with Selena.
Great.
And then, you know, someone alive. Oh, yeah. Like a chat with Obama.
There you go.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Okay. Yeah. I'm going to do this whatever little squiggle.
Sorry,
to
that
figure
took forever.
Out what the number is. You did. That's one of the shorter mashes. You had immediate deliveries.
Oh, my God.
Sometimes there's a lot of hemming and hawing, which I completely understand.
Oh, I was so stressed.
No, you have gone through with flying colors. I wish I were recording this. okay. So tell me when to stop.
Okay. Stop.
Okay, I'm going to pause this. Mm-hmm. To the listener, it will seem as if no time has passed.
Yeah.
Come back with your 100% guaranteed fictitious mash.
Amazing.
Future. I got it. I said that like I caught a fly ball or something. I won the lottery.
What did you catch?
No, you just figured it. All you did was what you were supposed to do, Janet. There was really no chance to it at all.
I'm so excited.
Okay, I'm very excited about this outcome. There's a lot going on here. Where do I want to start? First of all, it feels like somehow this works out. The fact that you get unlimited with zero ramifications spaghetti bolognese.
Oh my God.
That you are tasked with eating with chopsticks.
Oh,
which
amazing.
Is like noodles. Hello, noodles.
Oh, wow. Very I've doable. Done that before, actually.
Very
yeah.
doable.
Wow, thank you so
As
much.
As I was thinking about it, I was like, I feel like that's something that teenage me would have done because I would be so smug that I learned how to use chopsticks that I would be like, what else can I eat with chopsticks?
Yeah.
Spaghetti?
Yeah.
Give it to me.
Why not?
But I don't think I ever have. I'm putting that on the list of things to do.
Wow. Okay.
So you've got your comfort chopsticks. Mm-hmm. You've got your spaghetti bolognese.
Mm-hmm.
You have, let's say you have like a kettle and your dry noodles out in the forest.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have any fire, but you want to make your noodles?
No way.
Rest assured, that's not going to be an issue at all.
I'm going to know how to make fire.
You could make a fire, boil up those noodles.
It's a very important skill.
Yeah, it's a very important skill. And ostensibly, one assumes that you might be out there, like just in the middle of nowhere, to get the very best, most spiritual experience of the solar eclipse.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But I'm very smug because not only did you get solar eclipse, but you also got Argentina. So I feel like I took over the MASH game.
Amazing.
And was telling you about all my likes and dislikes.
Mm-hmm.
And then somehow that influenced the game.
That's right.
So yes, you also have like a wonderful hideaway in Argentina.
Yeah.
But and it's an apartment.
Don't ever look up. Yeah. During it.
It's an apartment. I'm so sorry. I don't know if that include, it could still include a garage.
Apartment's great.
Yeah. Apartment. Let's see, what else can I tell you? You have, listen, I don't know how many people are going to be a part of that getaway life, but rest assured, whenever you want to go in and be the part of a big passel of people, you can dive into Full House.
Oh, yeah.
Whenever you so desire and hang with the fam.
Yeah, yeah.
Other people that you will have the pleasure of hanging with are the one and only Yuri Kochiyama.
Oh, okay. Amazing.
Which will be very cool.
Yeah.
And your romantic escapade that might or might not result in a longer term thing with Captain Li Shang from
Wow.
Yeah.
This is a great, pretty great life.
It went well.
Yeah. See, I can live humble.
And I don't think there's I looked as hard as I could. I didn't see coronavirus anywhere on here.
Oh, I'm so glad.
It's absent. It's utterly absent.
I'm so glad because that would be spooky since, like, yeah. I'd be like, whoa, where did that come from?
Yeah, super spooky.
Yeah.
Oh, there are the
dogs.
Do
you know that person?
Yeah, I do. Oh, I do. That's my partner in life.
Okay.
And our dogs are back. They went for a walk, so I can meet them.
I just wanted to make sure just because I know
A person just...
Who knows?
Listen, it's people, Armageddon around here.
People are losing their minds.
People are losing their minds.
Going
out to people's homes. Yeah. So we got some dogs to meet. Of course, I've met them already, but I'm excited to introduce you to them.
I'm excited to meet them too.
I thank you for doing the podcast. I've been very much looking forward to this. And where can people find you to keep track of your various and sundry things?
I'm at Otsuko Comedy on all the socials, ATSUKO Comedy. And that's all. I'm all doing things all the time. So
yeah, that's where you gotta go to stay. Keep up with this fast moving creature.
Thank you so much, Janet.
Thanks to you. I can't continue, even though I may only have 8 listeners. I'm not gonna say you, and you. I just did. Bye. The show is recorded by me and edited by Julian Burrell. And as always, the JV Club theme song is Back Before We Were Brittle by the amazing Say Hi. Hey, remember when we could save kittens from trees or lunch on skyscrapers, bring the villains to their knees. MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.